Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Having twins? That is so exciting. But what about after the birth of your babies? It seems that often the focus shifts entirely to the new babies and the health of a new mother is overshadowed by their needs. She may go to the standard 6-week postpartum checkup with her care provider and still feel like something is off. Or worse yet, she may experience pain and be told that this is normal after having a baby. I'm Catherine Dahl, a physical therapist specializing in women's health, and I'm here to talk about common postpartum problems that are not normal and can be fixed. This is Twin Talks.
The ultrasound shows your babies to be healthy.
What? Did you say babies? You're huge. Are you having twins?
Are they natural?
Which one do you like better?
Twins, huh? My neighbor's cousin's brother's uncle's a twin.
So can they read each other's minds?
How do you tell them apart?
Twins? You got a 2-for-1.
Do twins run in your family?
Double trouble.
You're not having any more, are you?
At least you're not octomom.
If you're pregnant with twins or you're an experienced twin parent, odds are you've heard it all before. Now it's time to hear from the experts. This is Twin Talks, parenting times two. Well, welcome to Twin Talks, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Twin Talks is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting and new parents of twins. I'm your host, Christine Stewart Fitzgerald. Have you heard about the Twin Talks Club? Our members get bonus content after each new show and special giveaways and discounts. Subscribe to our monthly Twin Talks newsletter and learn about the latest episodes available. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Twin Talks app, available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows Marketplace. Well, before we get started, let's introduce our panelists. And I'm also going to go over to Sunny, and she's going to tell us about our special program.
Yeah, so there's different ways you guys can get involved in Twin Talks besides just listening to the show. Of course, we love that you listen to the show, but if you actually want to become part of the show, we have some different segments you can be part of. We have a segment called Twin Oops, where you can share your funny twin stories of parenting your twins. We have a segment where you can share funny things people have said to you when you're out and about with your twins in public and some of the maybe more inappropriate stuff that you've heard. You can ask our experts questions. You can send us emails about the show or, you know, different episode ideas that you have. We are all about integrating you guys and making you part of the show. So if you want to do that, just head on over to our website at newmommymedia.com. You can click on the contact link and you can send us an email. Or if you would like to actually submit for these segments and for us to use your voice on the show, you can submit via our voicemail. No one's going to pick up the phone when you call. It's going to go straight to voicemail. That number is 619-866-4775.
All right. And let's introduce ourselves. So, Sunny?
Yeah. So, I'm a twin mom, of course, but I also have two singletons. My boys are my singletons. They're my oldest. I have a 5-year-old and 3-year-old. And then I have identical twin girls who are about 22 months right now.
All right. Okay. And on the phone with us, Brandy.
Hi, I'm Brandy Wallace. I have two sets of twins. I have identical boys that are 5, and I have fraternal boy-girl twins that just turned 3.
Two sets of twins is a lot of stress on your body. So I can only imagine. I mean, I've got, so my girls are 6 years old, and I have to say I've known Brandy for a while. So our first set is the same age as my only set. And then she went on to have her second set and I had a singleton. So, and when I found out she had her second set of twins and there, I'm like, oh my gosh, please, 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 let's not find another one in there for me. We're going to look at a headline today. So there was a story that came to the New York Times just a few days ago. And since we're talking about postpartum health, this stood out to me. Now, in China, there is a long-standing practice that goes back, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of years, where women go into what's called confinement. So basically, after they give birth, they would usually stay in their home. They don't go out. They have to stay warm. They have to eat special foods. And so this has been going on, for, you know, age old time. So now I was just reading in the Times that there is a new fancy alternative to staying at home and being confined, but it is a luxury version of the confinement. And if you're willing to spend more than $900 a day, so for 38, that's something like $27,000, you can be pampered. And apparently the women get, have chefs that feed them, these special diets that are, help their breastfeeding and bring back, the blood. And of course, in the Chinese medicine, the qi. They have special kinds of physical therapy and massages and acupuncture. And then now I got to say, probably the best part that I like is they have nurses that are just devoted to the babies. So the mother doesn't have to lift a finger. So the nurses, they, diaper the baby, change the baby. They, wash, they do all that. And it's like, okay, it's time to breastfeed. Okay, here you go. Get comfortable.
I would love to know what you would do. If you came in with twins, would it be $900 a day? Or would they be like, we can't really give you a 2-for-1, so we have to tack on an extra, $450.
I'm sorry, I'm wondering if they have a scholarship program.
Right.
I know, because that would be, twice for you.
Know, right?
That's something, we have to say.
I'd be willing to consider another pregnancy if I didn't have to lift a finger and could just lie around and be pampered. Actually, I'd consider that now. Do they cater to older postpartum? Like 3 years out?
I know, exactly. When does that confinement period end?
Really?
I'm still postpartum, sure. No, I love that. I love that. Well, we're here today with Catherine Dahl, who's here to talk about common postpartum problems that might go undiagnosed. Thanks for joining us, Catherine.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be here.
In your observations, what do you know about, typical postpartum checkups? What do they cover in the range of, postpartum problems? What are they covering and not covering?
Yeah, so since I'm a physical therapist and not a maternity care provider, I don't want to give some misinformation, but appointments that I've really attended are my own postpartum checkups. But kind of in general, maternity care providers are mostly concerned about the function of the organ systems involved in childbearing. So they're going to ask about postpartum bleeding and about scar healing and about pain in these specific areas. And then they'll ask about breastfeeding, if a woman's breastfeeding, and about mental health issues, energy level, nutrition, and other general questions about function and health. And they'll check on vital signs and the function of the various organ systems.
And so there sounds like they're covering really just more the internal organs, but maybe not looking at things from more of a structural or more anatomical. I don't know if that's the correct word. Look at it. So in your field, how about those types of conditions that many women experience after giving birth? So how are they? If a woman says, "Well, I'm feeling pain in my pelvis," or I just feel like the muscles are tight, or something that's sort of vague. How is that type of complaint usually addressed?
Right. So that's kind of the difference in what physical therapists do, is that we're specialists in movement system problems. And so most maternity care providers aren't. And so they're not asking about that or screening for that. So issues such as low back pain or urinary incontinence, they're not necessarily routinely asked at the 6-week postpartum visit. And in the case of painful intercourse, most women haven't returned to intercourse usually by mm-hmm. 6 weeks. Some mm-hmm. have. Mm-hmm. But so they're just not, it's not a topic that comes up. But in my experience, once care providers are educated on these things, then they kind of incorporate those questions. But also, when women are able to recognize that a symptom that they're having isn't normal, it may be common, but it's not normal, then they're able to bring it up with their care provider at that visit and then advocate for whatever treatment they might need. And I just wanted to say, since we were talking about France, I don't know if you guys know, but in France, every postpartum woman gets 12 physical therapy visits as part of their standard postpartum care.
Wow.
And so it's on the radar of the maternity care system in France, but it's not really here. It's coming. It's getting better. But this is the type of thing that musculoskeletal issues really affect pregnancy and postpartum. And so that's why they get that care. But women here can advocate for that care.
Wow. Yes. And then, I'm just wondering now, especially for twin moms. Twin moms, we've carried more babies, had more weight. Maybe we've had more weight gain. So there's just the volume of change, I guess,
right.
is greater than most, you know, most pregnancies. And so I think often throughout the pregnancies, we might experience more intensity of pain. And so I think sometimes afterwards, you know, we might have some sort of pain and we just don't know, is this normal? Is it not? Even if we've had singletons, you know, there's that sort of thing. Well, I'm it feels more intense than what I remember. So how can twin moms, you know, kind of figure out, is this a normal part of the postpartum recovery process, or, you know, do they need additional help?
Right. So obviously anyone who gives birth, whether it's vaginal or cesarean, has participated with in having stretching of the body tissues and an increased amount of stress on the body, like you're talking about. And if there's any surgical procedures, a cesarean birth or any type of episiotomy or tearing or something like that, that's going to require some time for the tissue to heal, obviously. And I think that a great rule of thumb is that your symptoms should gradually get better over time, like every week they should get better. And if they stay the same or if they get worse over time, that's a message that the stress on your body is higher than your body's level of resilience. And that's when you need some additional help in addressing the problems.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Brandy, since you're on the phone, I just wondering, you know, what was your experience in your postpartum follow-up? I mean, did you, you know, have any types of, you know, pain or discomfort and feel like you needed to bring that up to your doctor? And you know, how did your healthcare provider respond to that?
I did not have any pain or discomfort that I felt was unusual. I had abdominal weakness, certainly. Had I known that 12 physical therapy visits were available to me, I probably would have taken advantage of that, because I did have some back strain because, again, the lack of abdominal muscles, but I feel like that's different than what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, and I think that's probably pretty common, and we'll just get into that as far as, you know, so Catherine, maybe you can just, you know, talk about what are the most common complaints that you see in your practice for women who've given birth, and you know, you can just talk about, you know, each of the different complaints and what it might feel like, you know, symptom-wise for each woman.
Yeah, so one of the common complaints that we see in our practice is painful intercourse. And I would say that of the list that we're going to talk about today, that's the only one that's really normal.
Okay.
I would say that the others are common, but not normal.
Okay.
Painful intercourse is going to be normal because of the tenderness of the perineum after vaginal birth.
Okay.
And obviously, the tissues are really stretched. And so there can be issues with the skin of the perineum, or also there can be some underlying muscle problems where the muscles might be too tight, and that can cause some pain during intercourse. And also not just with intercourse, but with insertion of tampons or GYN exams, anything like that.
And is this going to be applying just for women who've had vaginal births, or does this also apply for women who've had cesarean as well?
I think it's going to be more common in women who have had vaginal births.
Okay, so more common. And then is it, and is the, let's just say the pain is, and you're talking about, you know, let's just say pain that extends beyond the 6-week period, or is there sort of a period of time that's where it's not normal?
Or pain that doesn't get better, like I said, with my rule of thumb. So if it's getting better, maybe it's going to be a little bit slower than 6 weeks, and that's okay. But as long as it's getting better, that's fine. But if it's not getting better, or if it's really interfering with your function, then I think that's time to have it looked at. So
okay, and that's something that is really can be addressed in physical therapy. I mean, you mentioned that in France, it's become standard. Are there treatments in physical therapy for that type of a condition, or is it primarily through OB or midwife?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the underlying problem. Sometimes pain is caused by a scar that hasn't been healing well, and sometimes that needs medical attention, and sometimes it needs physical therapy. And so the physical therapist can recognize whether that needs medical attention, and usually the care provider will know also as well which path it needs to be taken to heal that. So
okay. And what are some of the other complaints that you see?
So another really common complaint that we see is stress urinary incontinence. And women, of course, can have that during pregnancy or postpartum. And stress urinary incontinence is when you leak urine in situations where you have an increase in intra-abdominal pressure. And so, for example, that would be like coughing or sneezing, lifting.
Yes.
Sudden movement. You go, oh, I reached for something and oops. And then also with exercising and running, which most women aren't running, you know.
Right. We're not
but jogging. As you go farther along postpartum, any leakage with any type of intense exercise. Once again, common, not normal. So.
Okay. And so, because I mean, no, I'll just say, okay, so here's my sort of, yeah, in the embarrassing postpartum, I do remember those few times of, yes, like, you know, coughing really hard. And I'm like, okay, I think I just, you know, had a little wetness. So I'm like, okay. And this was, you know, maybe a month after giving birth. And, you know, I wasn't worried about it, but just it was a little bit more the embarrassment, like, okay, I've read about this. So, yeah, I don't know if, you know, really women really talk about it, you know, that much, even yeah, among women, friends.
Women don't talk about it, but they joke about it.
Like, yes.
And that, ugh, you know, I'm like, no, this is not normal. You know, this is something that can be addressed. So yeah, but once again, as long as it's improving and not very serious, then you could wait, but otherwise you'd want to get it addressed.
Okay, no, good.
Soon,
so. Oh, good to know. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to look at some other common postpartum problems that should not be dismissed and go untreated.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic, and finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Well, welcome back. Today we're talking with Catherine Dahl, who's uncovering some of the common postpartum problems that are often missed or dismissed in follow-up checkups. We were just talking about some of the common complaints. So maybe you can kind of tell us more of what you see in your office.
So another condition that we see in our office is poor recovery of the abdominal wall function or form. And so a lot of women maybe have heard of diastasis recti, which is a separation of the rectus abdominis muscles that run down the front of your belly. And so obviously the muscles of the abdominal wall are stretched during pregnancy, and with pregnancy with multiples, that's going to be stretched even more. And so postpartum, that should gradually shrink and return to your pre-pregnancy size or pretty close to it. But we have a sedentary society, you know, and we have our normal activities don't necessarily provide what we need to get those muscles back to their proper form and function. And so we do see women who come in with issues with diastasis. They're also diastasis and poor abdominal wall function are related to the next two things that we're going to talk about, which is low back pain and pelvic organ prolapse. And so I'll save those, but all three of them are kind of related.
Right. Now, I know diastasis is really big. In fact, we did a whole episode just on diastasis.
Yeah.
Because this,
yeah, it's a hot topic.
I hear about it just constantly within the twin community. And I think you know, when we talked about it, I think you were kind of, I don't say diagnosed on the spot. You didn't know you had it.
Yeah, I didn't even know. And I didn't really know anything about it. I just knew that after I had my girls, I just felt the best way I can explain it is that I felt like I had a little girl belly again. You know, when you're a little girl and it kind of sticks out a little bit. There's not a gut, right? It's just like a little round belly. And you kind of have the same thing like when you're like 4 months pregnant or something like that, you know, but I felt it was a totally different postpartum body than what I had after my singleton babies. And I was like, what is this? And then when we did the episode, I was like, oh my goodness, it has to be the case. And then we looked afterwards, and you know, Cindy did her thing, and she's like, oh yeah, da da da. And I'm like, what? I didn't even know I had this. What is this? But I've been trying to get that belly down ever since.
I know. And I think we heard a statistic somewhere that, I mean, it was like, what, 40% of all pregnancies or something just create, end up with some form
right.
of
right. It's not just twins. It's
yeah,
not
it's
just
not just
twin pregnancies,
right.
For
right.
sure.
Yeah, it's yeah. very common. And I just want to make the point that one of my mantras is it's not what you have, it's how you use it. And mm-hmm. so, you know, even if you do have some separation, if you're not having any symptoms, if you're not having any incontinence or back pain or anything, that may be fine and your body can deal with that. And so, but everybody is different. And so it's kind of a different point about whether you need to seek treatment or not for it. So everybody's different, I guess, is what I'm saying. So
yes. Now, I know you mentioned so the abdominal wall, and then that's kind of also tied into kind of the low back pain and pelvic girdle pain as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's the next thing that we see is we see a lot of low back and pelvic girdle pain. Pelvic girdle pain includes pain in your sacroiliac joints, which are kind of at the back on the sides of your sacrum. And also you can have pain at your pubic symphysis, which is that cartilage in between your two pubic bones in the front. And often those go together. And once again, it's common but not normal, and especially during pregnancy as well. A lot of care providers may not diagnose it because they say, oh yeah, every woman has back pain during pregnancy, and it's absolutely not true. It's absolutely not true.
Man.
And just like many of these other conditions, it indicates an underlying problem with your movement function. And so it's something that should be addressed as soon as you notice that it's a problem. So mm-hmm. just because it's common, it's not normal once again. So
that's good. Now, Brandy, now you'd mentioned that you had kind of the, you know, issues with your abdominals and back pain. So I'm curious then, did you end up getting any treatment for that? I mean, in either one of your pregnancies?
No. No, I'm just motoring along, taking care of my four kids. I remember thinking, well, gee, before the first pregnancy, I had been working out with a personal trainer. I was in much better shape than I was after having a set of twins and I'm getting near their second birthday. So I thought, well, I guess this is just something that I just have to deal with. I literally could not sit up in bed after delivering them. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't get up to take care of them. I had to sort of roll over so like I was pregnant and prop myself up to get out of bed for a while. And even now, my shape is still one of a woman that might be expecting. my body likes that form, apparently, because I haven't gained a lot of weight. It's just my shape is altogether different, and it's all just right there in my abdomen.
Wow. So I guess you know that at some level you could benefit from some PT. Yeah.
On a lot of levels.
And all of us could. I will confess, yeah. I haven't really done the postpartum rehab that I should have done from my singleton. So,
well, who has the time? I mean, that's the biggest thing.
And, you know, very hard. Yeah.
Yeah. For us, the moms of twins, we're like, okay, we're feeding them and we're doing this. And, you know, and I'll say from my experience too, I mean, I did have, you know, PT, with my twins, but then on my singleton, I didn't have as much help in regular childcare. So I feel for you, Brandy.
Well, and I want to say too, I feel like it's sort of a, when you have twins, it's sort of a kick you while you're down kind of thing, because not only did you carry them, and for me, I carried all four of them full term and I had four vaginal deliveries. So yay on all those marks, but then you suffer the consequences on the backside, which is now I have to carry these two children and I have no abdominal muscles and I have no back strength. My back was going out because I couldn't take care of just lifting the double the car seats and all, it's a lot.
Right. Yeah.
It's tough. Now I wanted to catch, I think we've got one last sort of complaint that you see. I didn't want to miss that because I think that's important.
Yeah. So the last one that we see is a pelvic organ prolapse. And that's when your organs are situated a little lower than normal in your pelvis. And this actually is a condition that's routinely checked for by your care provider. So I would say out of all of those that for sure they're checking that. If it's missed by your care provider, a woman might feel sensations of vaginal bulging or pelvic pressure. And those are normal after giving birth and after being pregnant for a long time. And so that's another one that I would say, as long as it's gradually improving every week, you know, and it doesn't go on too long, then that's probably normal healing versus something that should be addressed. But if it continues or if it's very severe, or even if you're concerned about it, have somebody check it out. So,
and is this kind of just the result of like that maybe the uterus is, I mean, when it's still contracting and it's just sort of maybe in a different place than where it was, or, you know, things that trying to settle back to the original pre-pregnancy form?
Not really. It kind of is. It's usually a sign that there's some underlying movement dysfunction. Like I said, usually it's a sign that women have a habit of bearing down. instead of lifting up with their abdomen and their pelvic floor. And so as that goes on over time, the organs kind of just move lower and lower and lower in the pelvis. It can also be affected by pushing for a really long time during the second stage. But often there's an underlying contribution to that, but then kind of giving birth is the straw that broke the camel's back, as it were. So like most things.
Yeah. Now, you know, for all these conditions that we were just talking about, so how are twin moms more susceptible compared to, you know, women who just had singletons? I mean, is it a more intense, you know, condition or more pain, or, you know, how does
yeah,
that
Yeah, so just like, just exactly what Brandy just said, that she had, you know, increased weight gain, and there's an increased load on her uterus and also on her musculoskeletal system, right, and on her abdominal wall. So because of those things, I would say that incontinence are might be more common, abdominal wall weakness might be more common, and pelvic girdle pain or low back pain, and also prolapse. So just for that reason, she articulated that really well. So, and then I was also just going to say that twin moms are also more likely to have cesareans. And so then there's also the addition of the recovery from the cesarean surgery as well. And then also, Brandy said, the increased childcare load or the physical demands of caring yes. for two babies. Oh my gosh, it's twice the physical work. And then also, with moms with multiple pregnancies, are more likely to be on high risk pregnancies and might be on bed rest or restricted activities. And so then there's going to be some deconditioning that goes on during pregnancy. And so that's another issue that you need to address postpartum. So,
well, so now let's just say we find out that we need to get some therapy and we come see you. So just in general, what does that treatment look like? I mean, is it all external, internal, kind of what length of time can it span?
Yeah, it depends on what you're coming for. But like I said, a lot of these problems are related. Physical therapists examine muscles and motor function and skin and things like that. And so we do that all over the body. And with pregnancy and postpartum, of course, we want to look at the pelvic floor because that has muscles and skin and organs and all sorts of things, just like everywhere else. And so we examine the muscles. I would say the big three are the abdominal wall, the pelvic floor, and the lower back, and actually the big four, because you have to do your hips, because the hips are really related to pelvic floor function. And so we examine the function of those four things. If you're having painful intercourse, we'll examine your skin really carefully, and sometimes there's scar work that needs to be done or things like that. Other than that, all of the other situations are usually caused by issues with muscle imbalance, like some muscles are too weak, some muscles are too strong and doing too much work. And so there's an imbalance of which muscle groups are doing which work. Often there are postural issues. Pregnant and postpartum moms tend to stand with really flat low backs, and that contributes to a lot of these problems. And so we work on posture. And then also muscle strength issues, especially of the hips and sometimes of the pelvic floor. And biomechanics is a big one. How are you lifting those babies? How are you sitting when you're breastfeeding? How are you getting in and out of the car? All of those things are really stressful on the body, and you can do them with good biomechanics and relieve the stress on the body, or you can do them with poor biomechanics, and over time that causes increased problems. So biomechanics is a big thing. So
it sounds like it could involve, you know, different forms of hands-on, you know, different type of therapy mm-hmm. and exercises, and then into the practical aspect of
right.
lifting babies and getting in out of cars, which we may not think about.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it's our physical therapist's job to think about that stuff. So.
Wow. Now, you know, I can say I had physical therapy, you know, for back issues, actually before I was pregnant. And, you know, one of the things that did stay with me is I remember, you know, my therapist came out to my car with me, and I was, you know, she had me sit in the car, and it was a manual, you know, stick manual transmission, and she, you know, had me show how I, you know, shift and where my seat was, and she said, you know what, no, you need to move your, you know, your seat back, your legs, you need to get your, and so she had me get a pillow and reaps, and you know, I'm not kidding you, just like that one thing made a significant difference. I mean, I just love the fact that, you know, you from, you know, your vantage point can say, wait, you know, this maybe this one repetitive thing that we do throughout the day is really affecting us.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We're detectives in movement dysfunction. So we want to find out what's causing the symptoms and then fix that underlying problem. We want you to never come back to us. We want you to fix the problem. We never want to see you again. In a good way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, you know, I have to ask this, and I'm thinking of Brandy right now. So is there any time limit? So after giving birth, in which you can, you know, do therapy? I mean, so.
Yeah, so postpartum never ends. Once you've given birth, you're always postpartum. And so the answer is no. There's no end limit to when these conditions can be addressed. Obviously, the earlier the better. But like we talked about, especially newly postpartum, you have to balance, you know, going to these physical therapy visits and doing your exercises with the other needs of your family and your kids and all of that. So there has to be a balance. So, but sometimes, I mean, usually women only come and seek treatment when they have symptoms. That's when all of us do it, right? Because it's interfering with our life enough that it's time for us to make that sacrifice and go get treatment, right? So, but ideally, you would treat the problems before they get severe enough that you actually need treatment, right? So, so like I said, in my perfect world, we'd be like France and everybody would get those visits, right? And everybody would do that and there would be childcare there for you. You know what I mean? And it would be an integral part of postpartum care, standard postpartum care. But the other comment I wanted to make on that is that a lot of the conditions that we see postpartum, once I take my history with the patients, I realize that, oh, they did have some of these symptoms or warning signs during pregnancy, and they had some symptoms or warning signs before they got pregnant. And so these issues aren't coming out of nowhere. They're really issues that were pre-existing, but now the stress of the birth has kind of put the woman's body over the edge, and now she has symptoms. Mm-hmm. So the earlier the better, meaning really early, you know.
Oh, right.
As you, yeah.
And I'll speak from experience that I think I did have physical therapy during my pregnancy with the twins. And so I think that did help significantly just to lessen the pain after giving birth.
Right, exactly. And I have that exact comment here. Yeah, don't let them become postpartum issues. Yeah. Address it during pregnancy because you might have a little more time then than you do postpartum. So.
All right. Well, thanks so much to everyone for joining us today. And be sure to visit our episode page on our website for more information about Catherine and her practice, as well as links to additional resources. Now, this conversation continues for members of our Twin Talks Club. After the show, Catherine will talk about the dreaded mom bod. And for more information about the Twin Talks Club, visit our website, newmommymedia.com.
It is time for a segment on the show we like to call Twin Oops. And it's where you lovely twin parents write in and tell us about some of the funny stories that you've experienced with your twins. So this one comes from Cindy, and Cindy lives in Delaware. She says, when my twins were about 4 weeks old, I was home alone with them and my just-turned two-year-old Connor. Everything that could possibly go wrong did in a matter of 15 minutes. Oh, been there, done that, right? First, Connor threw his oatmeal on the floor, getting it all over him and the cat in the process. I was trying to clean it up while listening to two babies cry. Then Colin starts spitting up everywhere, so I left the oatmeal and tried to clean him up. In the meantime, Connor throws a toy and hits Colin in the head, so he starts crying even louder. As all of this is going on, Kira starts to poop. It starts seeping out of her diaper and all over the bouncer. I take her upstairs to clean her up. After depositing Connor in his crib, debate whether or not just to throw out Kira's entire outfit because it was completely covered in poop, put her naked on a towel on the floor while I go to get a bag to put her outfit in. Come back to see that she has peed through the towel and onto our new carpet. Later, when I'm done crying, I call my mom to laugh about it all. Because honestly, all you can do is laugh at that point. I figure things couldn't get much worse than that after 15 minutes. Cindy, I love your story. Thanks so much for your honesty. And yeah, we've all been there, right? Especially those of us with twins, plus you have other siblings involved. And all I have to say is that which does not kill us makes us stronger.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Twin Talks. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies, Parent Savers, it's your parenting resource on the go, and our newest show, Newbies, for new parents. This is Twin Talks, Parenting Times 2.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health, or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.